Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. As we begin this morning, I don't know, I know we're already a week away, but if you are like me, many of you, I'm sure, were inspired by many of the Olympic athletes competing down in Rio, in Brazil. We actually had a young lady who was part of our church last year, who was an NIC college student who was here, and I had a chance to connect with her a little bit over Facebook and messaged her a couple of times in Brazil, say, hey, we're cheering for you guys, and it was just kind of neat getting a little bit of perspective coming back from her. But I'm sure that many of you were inspired by many of these athletes, whether it was the amazing swimming by Canada's 16-year-old Penny Olesiak. I don't know if I said that quite right, but winning 4 medals in her very first Olympics at the age of 16 for Canada. Yay, Canada. Or whether it was Jamaica's Usain Bolt doing a triple-triple. They call it a triple-triple because of the fact that he won 3 gold medals in 3 consecutive Olympics in the sprint races. So over a period of 12 years, got 3 gold medals in each of the 3 competitions he was in 3 consecutive Olympics. Amazing accomplishments. Another inspiring moment, I didn't see it, but I heard about it, I saw the highlights of it, was 2 female runners who their feet got kind of tangled up in their race. They tripped up, fell to the ground. And what was cool was how one of the girls, instead of her charging out, she turned around and turned to her competitor that was beside her and stooped down and reached out to her and offered a hand up, and then the 2 of them were able to continue their race. I think there's even more to the story as well, but just really an inspiring moment. They didn't win the race, but I think they won the hearts of a lot of people. The Olympics, whether you are an athlete or not, I think most of us are not, have a way of inspiring greatness and determination in all of us. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people, when they see all those competitors doing their thing, that if you're some of us, you know, thinking like, "Man, we gotta hit the gym. You know, we've got to get off the couch, get on the bike, whatever." And in fact, I think it was right the following week. I thought, you know, I got to get on my bike some more and start riding my bike to church. I did it once, so I'm on, we're on the way here, but. It's interesting how the Bible, and we're going to make some reference to this morning, how the Bible uses athletics and competition as a metaphor for the Christian life. Things like running, boxing, competing in the games, it actually makes reference to that. And even though the Rio Olympics are over, and many of those competitors have now gone home, we still have a race to run. We still have a race that needs to be completed. And my hope this morning is, this message was kind of birthed in my heart back a few weeks ago when it was actually at our seniors' service that we do once a month, and Faye Schellenberg actually shared from this text, and it was just in the midst of the Olympics, and I remember thinking about it. It just kind of captured my heart, and I see she's here this morning. And so this was birthed with a bunch of 80, 90-year-olds, and I thought, you know what, we need to be reminded of some of the important things that can help us. And so my hope today is that you will be challenged, encouraged to stay in the race, to finish your race. Some of you perhaps have become discouraged. Like oftentimes in strong competitions, you might feel like you're fading, maybe feel like giving up. Some of you are maybe losing heart, saying, I'm done. It's like a marathon. You've hit the wall, And it's like, I can't take another step. I think we've all been there. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I know what it's like. I've had those times in ministry where it's like, I don't know if I can do another week. I don't know if I can do another year. I don't know if I can keep going. And so my hope today is, as I share from this passage, that we will look for some things that can help us. The title of this message is Running with Heart. And I want to read the first three verses here of Hebrews 12, and then we'll make reference to parts of this as we go along. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I want to share with you just a few obvious keys that we see in this passage that I believe can help us to run with heart. The word heart, the actual root word for heart is courage. And so if you wanted to even change the title, we could say to run with courage, to run with renewed courage, with renewed heart, so that you can continue on in your race. Number one, the first key that I see here as being an important key to running with heart is the inspiration of others. The inspiration of others. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." The picture here is a stadium, much like the Olympic Stadium, filled with people. The only difference here is that most of the people in that Olympic Stadium, in fact, I wouldn't say most, but a lot of them anyway, were spectators. The farthest thing from their mind was getting up in the morning and running 5 miles before breakfast. But most of them were spectators. In this context here, the cloud of witnesses, these are people, those in the stadium, those in the crowd, are those who have already ran their race, those who have already given their lives to living out God's plan and purposes. And so the writer here to Hebrews is saying that when you are running, when you are in your race, he's saying, look to them. It's not them watching you, cheering you on. It's you looking to them. You looking into the stands and seeing the people in your mind, in your heart, who have inspired you, who have motivated you, who have encouraged you. And the context comes from Hebrews chapter 11, which was the great faith chapter of the Bible. If you've never read Hebrews 11, let me encourage you to do that today. In fact, there's an outline in your notes, in your bulletin today, I should have mentioned that earlier, that you can follow along, maybe just jot some things down, and just take this message and think about it, pray about it, apply some of the truths to your heart this week. But Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter filled with people who ran their race. And it's kind of a tribute to all of these different ones. In fact, chapter 11, verse 39 says, "These were all commended for their faith." People like Noah, who without understanding all of the implications, the Bible says, built an ark. And he trusted God's word, and he built an ark and prevailed over a long period of time. He's acknowledged as one of the biblical heroes of faith. Abraham, who trusted God. We've just come through an Old Testament series reminded of how Abraham, one of the great patriarchs, was willing to leave the familiar and go to an unknown land. And he trusted God with his life. All of these people trusted God with their lives, even in times that they didn't understand. How many know this morning that there's so often we find ourselves having to make decisions, even though we don't fully understand the why behind the decision. And yet we see these people, great men and women of God, trusting God with their lives. Gideon, another example, someone who didn't think too highly of himself, and yet God described him as a mighty warrior and went up against thousands of Midianites when they were going into battle, and with his small little army defeated this major army. And then one of the scriptures, or verse 35, it talks about others, nameless people here in Hebrews chapter 11, nameless people, and yet they were known for their faith, yet they were acknowledged for their trust in God. And I just want to encourage us today that we are surrounded. The Bible gives us all of these Bible characters. And time doesn't give us, we can't go into all of them today. But the whole point behind this is that we would be inspired by those who have been in the race, have ran the race, have finished the race, have finished well, have had to overcome huge odds and obstacles and struggles and hardships. How many know the race often is, in most cases, it's never easy. It's never easy. And yet we see these people being inspired by others. I was thinking of Penny Olesiak, this young 16-year-old girl. I just have this picture in my mind of her coming back to her home swim club, and just a picture of 12 and 13-year-old girls gathering around her and wanting to hear her story and thinking that, you know, 4 years from now, we'll be 16, 17 years old. We could be on that podium. And they're going to be inspired by this Penny who has actually won her races, has actually accomplished and ran well or swam well. And so my question today is, what about us today? Along with these Bible faith heroes, if I were to ask you today, who is your favorite Bible character? Many of you would have someone that you identify with, and that's great. But I was also thinking about the faithful men and women of God in our own lives today. People maybe who are still alive. People maybe who in your generation have lived their life well and maybe have passed on, that you look back to. For me, as I look at my life, I'm thankful for the people, for the others who have inspired me. I'm thankful for people like my father, who lived his life well, who ran his life well. God, in his sovereignty, took him probably earlier than I would have wanted. But at the end of his life, my father inspired me in many ways. And I said at his funeral that my father, not only did he show me how to die, but he also showed me how to live. My wife has been a great inspiration to me. She's actually serving in the nursery, I think, today. So she doesn't even get to hear me say this, so I'll have to get her to listen to it. But the reality is, we've been together since we were high school sweethearts. And I've watched her quiet faith, and I've been inspired by her words of encouragement and comfort in low times and difficult periods. And she has been someone who has ran with me. And I'm thankful to God for the people who run with us. How many are thankful for those who run alongside of you, and whoever that might be? We need to have those people. We need the inspiration of others. I know the Bible, we're often said, don't look at people, don't look at others. But the reality is that there are others that God wants us to look at. There are others that God wants us to be inspired by that can help us run the race with heart. I was thinking about this even as a church. And even as Pastor Johnny was talking about children's ministry, I was thinking about the responsibility that we as a church have to be a cloud of witnesses, to be mentors, to be inspirers of our next generation. I was thinking about who will be the cloud of witnesses at CPC, who will inspire our children, who will inspire our youth, who will come alongside our next generation and help them to run with heart, to run with courage, to run with inspiration. You talk to most young people who look back on their lives, and they will identify a youth leader, a Sunday school teacher, a parent who inspired them to run and to follow after the heart of God. And so the questions this morning would be, who has inspired you? This would be a great testimony time right now, if, just to open it up and just say, I'm sure we could go all morning and just have people saying, so-and-so inspired me, so-and-so encouraged me, so-and-so stood with me, so-and-so ran with me. Who are those people? And then another question would be, who are you inspiring? Who are you inspiring to run well? And who are we as a church willing to inspire? Who are we willing to give our time to and serve and be willing to take seriously the responsibility that God has given to us to inspire and lead and encourage our next generation? And so I want you to think about the inspiration of others and how important that is to have those people in our lives. Secondly, if we're going to run with heart, we need to be willing to throw aside all hindrances, to lay aside all hindrances. Hebrews 12, verse 1, the second part of that verse says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The analogy here is that of a runner taking off anything that would hinder them from running at their highest potential. I didn't want to start putting up images of this morning, but the ancient games, the ancient runners, the ancient Olympians would often run naked. So please don't let your imagination start to run wild on you. But the part of the thought was to be able to run completely unencumbered. But here, the writer says, he talks about weights and sins. I brought an old pair of fishing waders here. I don't know how many of you ever walked in these things, but like these things are like, they weigh about 15 pounds, I think. And the whole idea is to keep the water out. These ones actually leak pretty bad, so they're not that functional anymore. But there's times when I've had to go long distances to get to the fishing hole. And by the time I get there, I'm exhausted having to wear these things. And you either have a choice to wear them or pack them on your back. Typically, you wear them. But you would never win a race wearing these things. How many know what I'm saying? You would never go very far, very fast, with much energy having to wear these things. And so the point that the writer gives is we need, if we're going to run, we need to be willing and prepared to get rid of any of the hindrances that would keep us from running well. Weights. Weights have a way of keeping you from becoming powerful. Weights are not necessarily wrong. It wouldn't be wrong for me to run a race with these things on. It would be stupid to run a race with these things on. It wouldn't be wrong. The reality is, there's a lot of things in our lives that are not necessarily wrong. Are you with me? But they're not necessarily beneficial. And maybe to a point, they serve a bit of a purpose. But if I was to, you know what, because I'm going to go fishing next, you know, like a month from now, I keep wearing those things. Like I just wear, just in case I might go fishing next month, you know. Like I got to hold on to these because I, you know. It would be crazy. And the crazy thing is that we have things in our lives that can, they're not necessarily wrong, but they can become weights. And they can hinder us from reaching our full potential. Maybe it's, and I don't want to start getting into the long list here, but you know what? You come up with your list. You look at your own life, examine in your own life, comforts, technology, money, Facebook, whatever. All these things can, they're not wrong in themselves, but they can potentially consume us and can become weights and can keep us from running effectively the race that God has given to us. And so, again, it's keeping things in their proper balance and perspective. Last Sunday, Pastor Johnny talked about making decisions that will help you become a more fully devoted disciple of Jesus. He talked about when it comes to discipleship, we need to ask ourselves the question, will this help me to be a better disciple? Will this help me to be a better follower of Jesus? Can I use this as part of my living testimony for Christ? And so let me encourage you to look at those things that might become weights. He also makes reference to the sins that entangle us. And basically anything that displeases God, anything that might ensnare us, the sins of the flesh, appetites, and not just sexual sin or lust or porn, but it could be anger, it could be a temper that gets out of control, it could be unforgiveness or offenses that become hurts, that become lead to bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. I remember Faye talking about this back a few weeks ago at the seniors facility, and just being reminded of how easy unforgiveness can not only become a weight, but can actually destroy relationships around us and can keep us from running well, can keep us from effectively running the race that God has set out for us. Gossip, disunity. One of the things tonight I want us to be praying into as a church, that we would be in unity with one another, even though we have different folks gathering at different times, that ultimately as a church we would be of one heart and one voice and one spirit as we reach into the Comox Valley. What Satan would love is a church that's divided against each other. And so unity in relationships is something that we must protect. Unity in relation in a marriage must be protected. If not, that race, that marriage can easily be impacted in the wrong way. And so he's saying, if you're going to run with heart, what is that everything? What are those things that hinder? What are those sins that perhaps are entangling that need to be dealt with and overcome? My word to you is that when it comes to sin, name it, be honest about it, don't play with it. Don't dabble in it, but deal with it quickly, because if you don't, it's going to kill you, it's going to destroy you, and it's going to take you out of the race. Thirdly, we're going to run with heart. We need to establish practices that will help you persevere. Practices that will help you persevere. Again, in the same verse 1, it says, "And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The reality is, I think I mentioned this earlier, but the Christian life is not an easy race. It's not a casual stroll. It's not a little walk in the park, but rather it's more like a long-distance marathon that requires great endurance. These marathon runners, they don't just suddenly one day say, "Oh, I'm going to run a marathon. I'm going to win the gold medal. I'm going to run in the Olympics." No, these guys train. They train hard. They train discipline. They every day run long distances in order to. They have a regime all worked out so that they can potentially have the opportunity to finish the race and maybe even win the race. And so great perseverance comes from daily practices and disciplines that will help you grow in your endurance. A few weeks ago, I shared this a couple of Sunday nights ago, but 3 or 4 weeks ago, my wife and I attended a conference that, and one of the words that really challenged me was from a guy by the name of John Maxwell, where he said, everything that is worthwhile will always be uphill. How many of you know that's true? You know, anything that you want to accomplish, whether you want to grow a great marriage, or whether you want to grow your business, or whether you want to be an aspiring whatever, athlete or whatever it might be, there's always going to be an uphill struggle. There's always going to be an uphill challenge. Anything worthwhile will always have an uphill element to it. But then he said, the problem is when people have uphill hopes but downhill practices. How many can relate to that? You know, we want to aspire. We want to do well. We want to be a great musician or whatever. And yet, our practices don't match the hopes. And most people want to run well in the Christian life. They want to do well. They want their walk with God to be meaningful and to be helpful and to make a difference. But the challenge so often is that our habits don't support it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 27, one of the scriptures here, again, the analogy to the games, it says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. All of these athletes, when you see them standing on their podium, that represents countless days and weeks and years of training. And I think that's what people forget. They didn't just get there haphazardly. They didn't just get there eating Big Macs and sitting on the couch. I mean, it was the daily discipline of practices that helped them prevail. Years ago when we were pastoring in Saskatchewan, we had a guy in our church who was an Olympic loser in the Winter Olympics. Not loser, but loser. The guys that lay on those little sleds and go down backwards or on their backs, whatever. And he was an amazing guy. And just fit, strong. And I remember one time, it was around Christmas time, we were going skiing on one of our local ski hills. And he was going to come with us. There was three or four of us guys going. And so my job was to pick him up in the morning and picked him up. And I remember him getting into my vehicle and sitting in the front seat. And he had this bowl of something. And it was horrible looking stuff. And it smelled bad. And it was awful. And he began to tell me about some of his eating habits and his dietary habits. And basically, it was the regime that he was on. It was the practices that he had established in order to make sure that his body was being fed the proper nutrients so that he could prevail at his sport. And I'll never forget that. These people go to great lengths to establish practices that will help them persevere. And as Christians, this is a great time of year for us to, even as we're coming into fall, sometimes in the summer we can get out of sync. We can, you know, our routines, our vacations, all those kind of things kind of throw us into a little bit of a different pattern. And my encouragement to you is for us to relook at the practices that we need to establish daily so that we can prevail and we can persevere in our Christian walk, in our walk with God. Maybe it's the practice of prayer and daily time with God. Maybe it's the practice of engaging your Bible on a daily, weekly basis. It's one of the reasons, one of the things we like to do as a church is to help you. And it's a great idea to take notes in the sermon teaching time so that you can take these things and look at how you can incorporate them into your daily lives. Connecting, fellowship, small groups. All kinds of practices that can help you prevail and persevere and keep you running with heart the race that God has set out for you to run. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning as one of the keys to running with heart is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Look at verse 2. It says, and let us, notice it keeps saying the word let us. I don't know how many times it actually says this here, but let us. There's this, not me, just me, but us. This is a race that includes all of us together. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The simple word here is, when it comes to running with heart and courage, the challenge here, the word is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You know, it's so easy to become distracted. And we live in a world of distractions. We hear a lot today about distracted drivers and things that cause us to take our eyes off of the wheel. I was driving my son's vehicle the last couple of days while we've been looking after their kids. And he's got one of these, he got this free satellite package for a little while. And I'm going through all the little, and like there's like 100 different little buttons on there. Like my wife said to me, she looked over at me, she said, Dave, she said, that's just about as bad as texting and driving. And I don't like that one. I don't like that one. I've never heard of that one. I don't like this one. And I'm looking for something that I liked, you know, on this satellite. But the reality is we have tons of things that distract us and potentially could kill us, right? How many know what I'm saying? I was driving home the other day, and I went past this guy on a 10-speed bicycle, big, tall bicycle. And it was heavy traffic. And there he was with one hand on his bicycle and the other hand with his phone right out here in front of him. And I'm thinking, like, dude, you are only 2 feet from that curb. And I know what it's like because I hit a curb one time and I did a somersault over the curb and broke my shoulder. I thought, you are looking for trouble. And it's crazy. Well, the same thing happens when it comes to running the Christian race, that it's easy to get our eyes off of Jesus. And it's interesting that runners, when they are learning to run, they are taught that when they are in the race, to look straight ahead, to look to the finish line, to not look back, to don't look around you, look straight ahead. And I don't know how many of you have heard the story of Roger Bannister, but Roger Bannister back in 1954 was the first guy to break the Olympic, or to break the 4-minute barrier to running the mile. And it was like they thought this could never be done. They thought it was humanly impossible. Well, he ended up breaking it. Well, in the same year, another guy by the name of John Landy, he actually broke Bannister's record. So he had the new record. And so the day came when these two guys in 1954 were set to actually run against each other. And it became known as the Miracle Mile. And they were going to see who could actually run the fastest. And I didn't know this, but some of you BC people and some of you people that lived, see, 1954, that was even before my time. But that race actually happened. This race actually happened at Empire Stadium in Vancouver. And so this huge race, it was a huge buildup, and they had television coverage. I think they said 10 million Canadians were going to watch this race. It's a big deal. People from all over the world were dialed into this race. And so the day came that these guys lined up head to head in the race. And Landy, the guy that had broken the record the second time, took the early lead. And he was leading through the race. Went around one lap, second lap, third lap, leading the race. Bannister was known for having a good kick at the end. I know that terminology because I actually used to be I used to run our track and field club back in Lloydminster, Saskatchewan. Can you imagine that? I was the president of the track and field club back there because I had three of my boys that were in that club. And one of my kids had a pretty good kick when it came to running the 800. Anyway, so here's these guys running this race. And Landy is just charging ahead. But what happened was right near the end of the race, he could hear Bannister's footsteps coming over his shoulder. And just in the last second, just before the end of the race, he turned, and I think we have a picture, maybe you've already seen it. He turned to his left, and in that split second, Bannister ran past him and actually beat him by 1/8 of a second. And they said, and actually at the end of the race, both of these guys came together, and they both agreed that momentary glance took him a little bit off of it. It changed the gait of his run. It changed the intensity of his run. It was just enough. They said that if he likely would not have made that glance, he would have won that race. The point is this morning, when it comes to following Jesus, when it comes to running after him, we need to be careful not to become distracted from what's most important. And that's keeping our eyes fixed on him. And Jesus, it was so amazing that in the same passage here, for Jesus himself, he had his eyes fixed, not on all the horrible death that he was going to face, but what he had his eyes fixed upon was the joy. The Bible says the joy that was set before him. It was the joy that was set before Jesus that gave him the direction and the heart to endure the cross. It was the joy of doing the Father's will. Friends, when it comes to you and I running our race, when it comes to you and I doing what God's called us to do, can we somehow set the joy of doing the Father's will before us? That's part of keeping your eyes on Jesus. Jesus knew the spiritual outcomes of enduring the cross. Jesus knew that humanity would have the opportunity to be reconciled to God. Jesus knew it was the joy of knowing that sin and death was going to be defeated through his death and resurrection that kept him going. It was the joy of knowing that sins could be forgiven that kept him going strong, even though it was hard. Friends, the bottom line is you and I were the joy. Jesus could see you. In some ways, Jesus had his eyes on you. Jesus had his eyes on you and me that allowed him to accomplish the mission of going to the cross for you and I. How many are thankful for that this morning? Jesus had his eyes fixed on the Father's will, but you were going to be the beneficiaries of Jesus completing the task that was set before him. Jesus, like Abraham, Noah, trusted God with the direction of his life. And friends, I want you and I to know that we can trust God with the direction of our lives as well. Tonight, even as we take a few minutes to include communion, the cross reminds us of our need for Jesus. The cross reminds us that Jesus finished his race, that Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, the Bible says right here in verse 2. The cross reminds us that the work of salvation through Christ has been finished, that our sins have been paid in full. There's nothing more that you and I have to do. We're called to run. We're called to keep our eyes on Jesus, but we don't run. We can't earn anything. We're not earning our salvation. Jesus has already done it for us. He just wants us to keep our eyes completely fixed on him so that we won't be eliminated from the race. Some of you this morning, as we close, have become weary. Some of you have become discouraged. Some of you have become disillusioned, perhaps in your Christian life. Some of you have been hurt in some way, maybe by another Christian or by a church or some circumstance that has caused you to question deeply your faith in God. My prayer this morning, my hope today, is that you would find a way to get your eyes back on Christ. The same Jesus that we look to be saved, to have salvation, is the same Jesus that we look to persevere. That's what I love about Hebrews 11, because some of those people in Hebrews 11, they actually never experienced the promise that they were hoping for. They actually never actually received what they thought they were going to receive in their lifetime. But the Bible also says that they knew that there was something yet to come. And that's, we live with that faith and that understanding that there is more to this life than just what you and I see today. But there is the hope of the resurrection. There's the hope of eternal life. There's the hope of beyond this life. There's the hope of what Christ has already accomplished and even now is sitting at the right hand of God, waiting for us to come home, waiting for us to experience all that he has experienced in advance. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back. We're going to close this morning. But I just, my hope and prayer today is that you would be encouraged. That you would be encouraged to once again begin to run with heart and with renewed passion and desire. We're going to sing that song that we began with, Aaron. The Bible says that we serve an everlasting God, and we're going to sing again that strength will rise. My prayer is that strength will rise in you. Let's all stand together. Let's give the Lord praise and thank him this morning. Before we sing, I just want you to bow your heads with me. A few questions, just with your heads bowed. My encouragement to you today is to be careful. First of all, not to run alone. It's never God's will and God's intention for us to run alone. That's why he's given us the scripture, because these are all characters. These were people that God has given to us that we can turn to. But even more, God's also given to us people in the here and now that we can look to inspire us in our race. Maybe there's someone in your life right now that you can draw closer to. Or maybe there's someone that you can look back to and say, with their help, they remind me of what it means to run with endurance. I want you this week to consider, are there any hindrances that are weighing me down? Not necessarily bad things, but just things that are weighing me down, keeping me from running well, keeping me from running to my full potential. I believe there's a lot of potential that is yet to be released here in this place. And we need everybody running well. We need everybody running to their full potential. It's like a relay race. We're in this together. Maybe sin Holy Spirit maybe has put his finger on something that you need to deal with it now. You need to let it go now. You need to confess it. Maybe find someone you need to confess it to. Maybe it's a small group, or maybe it's a friend, someone that you trust. You need to say, you know, I need this to be killed in my life. Practices that need to be reestablished. Maybe you've got some downhill practices. You got uphill hopes, but you got some downhill practices. So, Father, we pray this morning as we take this word. Jesus, we offer ourselves to you. We thank you for your encouragement. We thank you that we can keep our eyes, we can look to you this morning. That we can turn our affections towards you. We can eliminate the distractions. We can run with perseverance the race that's set before us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll say, if you're here this morning too and you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, maybe you're not even on the race, I want to invite you today, even today on this last Sunday of August, to say, Jesus, I want to accept the race that you've given to me, and I want to give my life to you this morning. And if that's you, I would love to talk to you. I would love to help you and come alongside of you. And so please, let today be the first day of getting onto that race. We want to run with you. We want to help you know and discover what Jesus has for you. He loves you. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.